Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Our good friend Susie Essman is set to perform the Wilbur Theater tonight in the city of Boston at 7:30. Susie Essman, of course, has played the sassy Susie Green for all 8 seasons of the critically acclaimed HBO comedy series Curb Your Enthusiasm. Her hilarious bouts of withering sarcasm and uninhibited insults have become her character trademark. Certainly, she is a very, very popular comedian. She has worked for 30 years or more, has appeared in her own half-hour HBO comedy special, made numerous appearances on all the late-night shows. She has a book out called What Would Susie Say? And it's a great pleasure to have her back on the roundtable. Susie Essman, wonderful to see you.
Hello, Joe.
How are you?
Waiting for the winter to be over. You know, I'm going to be in Boston tonight, and it's just like they got it even worse than we did here in Albany.
They did.
It's been just brutal.
So for people who may not know the story, talk just a little bit of how you came to Albany, because I think most people are surprised when you say, oh, I live in the Albany area.
Yeah. They see me in Price Chopper and they're just like staring, you know, because they can't believe it's actually me. My husband grew up in Del Mar and he's one of 9. And his brother was my very good friend for many, many years in Manhattan. His brother lived in Manhattan. And one day I was going to meet his brother to go buy some martini glasses, which is strange because I don't even drink martinis. I do since I met him, but at that time I didn't. And he said, well, my brother's in town. He's going to come. And I said, okay. And he came and we met each other and it was ding, 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 ding.
And it doesn't get in the way of work at all, of living upstate?
Well, I have a place in Manhattan. I just got back, actually, because I just shot a pilot in the city for ABC. So
that's
I have
cool.
a place in Manhattan. We have a little pied-à-terre. So we're back and forth a lot. It's not that far. You know, when I tell people I live in Albany, they think it's Buffalo. They think it's like, you know, Rochester. Or they think it's like, my God, you live all the way up there? And I say it's no farther than the Hamptons.
That's true. Good point. So you'll be in Boston tonight. You'll be at the Wilbur Theater, which is a beautiful theater.
It's great. I think this is my 3rd or 4th time playing it. Yeah.
And are you on a tour as of right now, or are you always on tour?
I'm not always on tour. I'm doing a lot lately. I'll be in Philly at the end of April. Then I'll be in Long Island in May. I'll be at the Levity Live Comedy Club in Nyack in June. So I just kind of, you know, we bought this new apartment, and it needs a gut demo. So I said, all right, I got to book myself. That's how it works. It's like, you know, I work when I need to.
Right. We'll work for food. We'll work for
exactly.
an apartment gutting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
At what point do you think, when you say, do you feel ready to go out? I mean, are you always ready? Are you always working on new material? How does that process work for you?
Well, you know, I've been doing this for, it'll be almost 31 years. July will be 31 years. So I have a file in my head, and I have whole chunks that people come up to me at a show and they say, what about this bit? And I'm like, oh my God, I haven't done that in years. I forget about them. But I'm always putting new things in and always reverting to old things also. It depends on, you know, the way I work is I never know what I'm going to do until I get out on stage. I have no order. I have no set. Usually I'll figure out what I'm going to open with. And then I'll just get out there and I'll just smell the crowd. I'll just feel them. I'll just go with whatever's going on in the moment.
This may be a weird question, but how do they smell from night to night? In the sense of, does somebody...
And I don't mean literally smell
them. I would just think that a person that your fans, people that would come out and pay to see you, would be somewhat similar.
You know, it really depends. You would think, and yet that's not really true. I'm always surprised at what a wide range of people there are. You know, like you would think here am I, this New York Jewish girl, and it would be that's who would come to see me. But I get such a wide variety in an audience. It's really great. I really love that. I was just in London in October. I was telling you off the air.
Yeah.
I did 8 shows at the Soho Theater. And they were all Brits. It was all British all the time. And they were great. They were great audiences.
And how do they know you? Do they know you from Curb?
Yes. Curb is very big there, which you could kind of see the British like in Curb.
Yeah.
you know.
And as you said, you've been doing this, it was soon to be 31 years. Curb Your Enthusiasm is 8 seasons. So how did the career change once you had that role and that notoriety?
Well, that was huge, because I think all the years before Curb, and even into the beginning of Curb, because we weren't a hit in the beginning. It wasn't until season 3 or 4 that I started to notice people noticing me on the street, knowing who I right. was. We were just kind of like under the radar in the beginning. When you're coming up as a comic, so for 20 years, let's say, I was coming up as a comedian, and I was working clubs, and I was building a reputation. I had a couple of specials, and people knew who I was. But it's not until you really hit on TV that you become a draw. And that's every comic's dream, is that you're drawing your audience. I'm going to go on stage tonight in the theater, and I still have to give them a tremendous amount of energy and put on a show, but I don't have to win them in the way that I used to have to do when I was just on some lineup. They're there to see me, so I've got them. And it gives me the opportunity to go way further than I might have, because I know I have their trust from the beginning, and I could just, you know, blow it out and go in many different directions.
When they come to see you, do they expect the character, which in some ways is similar, but in many ways different than who we see on stage?
Yeah. If they don't know my stand-up, they expect Susie Green. But they're not disappointed, because I could give them Susie Green, but so much more.
Right.
You know, I mean, Susie Green has the edge, and I have an edge, but it just manifests itself in different ways. And what I do in my stand-up, I think, is much, much more universal and much funnier and broader than... Not that Susie Green's that funny. She even makes me laugh. But but she's very specific. So if I was on stage just being that for an hour, it wouldn't be the same as me talking about my life and my kids and my parents and my husband and my world. It would be different.
It seems, and having seen you perform, it seems as though it's much less angry, in the sense
yes.
of that you're conversational, and that there is sort of a wink and an enjoyment of the life that you're living, even though you
yes.
find these humorous elements.
I think that, you know, all comics are pissed off to a certain extent.
Right.
I mean, basically what we do is we go on stage and we kvetch for an hour. You know, we complain, basically, is what we do. But yes, I'm not nearly, that's the beauty of Susie Green. She's one of the reasons why I created her to be the way she is because she's so completely comfortable in her anger. And I think that so many, everybody, but women especially, would love to be that comfortable and own their anger in the way that she does. I certainly don't. You know, so that she's a release, really, for me. I don't want to play myself. I want to play another character.
So let me ask you the talk show question that I'm sure everybody asked you, and I don't know the answer. I don't know that you know the answer, but is Curb done, or we don't know?
Well, according to Larry... he might come back. He has no plans on doing it anytime soon. He hasn't been working on it. He's been working on something else. So the answer is no, but it could be.
Yeah.
You know. But I just finished a pilot for ABC. Just yesterday, I finished a pilot for ABC that was shot in New York. I played David Schwimmer's mother. It's called Irreversible. It's based on an Israeli series. And I hope that goes. That'd be great fun.
When will you find out?
I think we find out mid-May.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there were a ton of pilots shot in New York this year, more than ever.
And that would be a nice, is it going to be a one camera, or are you going to do it?
It's a single camera, and it's also improvised, like Curb.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So it's kind of my fantasy job, an improvised script shooting in New York. It would just be heaven, and very, very funny. Sigal Avin, who's the creator, and did the Israeli show. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Couldn't David Schwimmer be your father?
No, I'm actually old. I'll show you the picture. I'm actually 10 years older than him, but he's playing a little younger. I'm playing a little older. I have a gray wig, and they, you know, add lines, and I'm
okay.
actually older than him. I'm 10 years older than him.
All right.
And it's television.
I find that hard to believe, but okay. It seems when you look at a series like that, certainly with Curb being very successful, that many of the characters on that show have gone on to other situation comedies. Cheryl Hines, of course.
Jeff
Garland
uh-huh.
has a
Goldbergs.
Successful
both on
show
ABC.
Now.
Actually, that would be interesting.
That's right.
If my show got on ABC. All the Curb alums would be on ABC.
See, that's another reason to
yeah.
to take it.
Yeah.
And then if you do get the call from Larry, then I assume you're all there.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult contractually Because when you sign up for a series, they kind of own you, and we didn't have in our company. But you try to work it out. You know, you try to work it out. I think that it's only good for the ABC series to do Curb. They're complimentary.
Right.
But, you know, as I said, it's not happening anytime soon.
How much time does a season take you? When you would go and do Curb?
5 months. We shoot 10 episodes over a period of about five and a half months.
Wow.
But I'm back and forth. I never live there.
Yeah.
I fly out. I stay in a hotel. I come home. Back to Albany, Joe. I can't be too far away from Albany.
Are you very anti L.A.?
You know, I'm not anti L.A. L.A. has its moments. As a matter of fact, my stepson lives there now, and we went in January to visit him, and I was doing a casino in Palm Springs. And in the middle of January, it was quite nice to go visit L.A. after this winter.
Yeah.
But I just don't. It doesn't feel like home to me. The sun is shining continually. Every day it's 70 degrees and the sun is shining, and it's like enough already. In the beginning it's nice, and then it's like, can we have a cloud? Can we have a raindrop? And and you're constantly in your car. It doesn't feel like home to me.
The other thing that I find interesting about you is you don't get overly political in your act.
I don't, for several reasons. There are people I know, dear friends of mine, who are so good at it, like Lewis Black and Jon Stewart. That's just the way their brain works, and they're brilliant. And the other thing is, I'm not that prolific. They're way more prolific than I am. I'm too wrapped up in my own life, I think, maybe. Or maybe they're too not wrapped up in their own life. So who knows? I don't know. You know, it's like everybody has their niche. I am a very political person. But it's not what I choose to talk about on stage.
And also, I would think more universal than with an audience, because you come in and you're talking about things that
everybody can relate to.
Right.
Yeah.
Where's
everyone. The plane?
Well, right. And then that is something that we're all trying to figure out.
God.
How much does an event like that? I can't.
Well, there's not much humor in that event.
Well, no, and that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, do you think about it? That you mentioned that you made me think of this when you said that you know what you're going to start with.
Yeah.
And does that ever have any impact on what's happening in the world at that
yes.
moment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I like it to be relevant. But yeah, you know, it's funny that you bring that up, because I remember right after 9/11, it was it was a horrible time for all of us. But it was 9/11 happened 2 weeks to the day after my father's funeral, and he had a long, drawn out, horrible death. And then a week after my father died, a friend of mine died in a car accident. And then 9/11 happened, where I lost a friend in the lobby, was hit by a fireball. So it was a really bad time for all of us. And about a week after that, I started getting the phone calls for benefits for firemen, et cetera, to do benefits. And a couple of weeks, I just couldn't. I just couldn't get on stage. And then after a couple of weeks, I thought, you know what? This is what I do. This is what I do, and I've got to figure out a way to get on stage and find something funny about this, find some way to make people laugh, because people need to laugh right now. And I did. I don't remember what the material was, but you know, you had to go out and just try to find some kind of way to make people laugh. We can't stop laughing, no matter how tragic something is.
And not to say that it's easy in any way, shape, or form, but don't you think in situations like that we're so starved for it, and that we want a release, that the laughs come perhaps a little bit easier for people because they want to release?
Yeah, and we all felt the pain. It was, you know, we all felt the pain that we were all feeling.
Yeah.
But you can't give up your humor. You have to heal with it.
Yeah. The thing I love about you on stage, though, is you are so comfortable.
The minute I step on stage, see me backstage, I'm not. I
but
drive my husband
matter,
crazy.
Right? That doesn't
backstage,
matter.
Backstage, I pace, and I'm just, I yell at my husband and tell him everything wrong he's done for the past month. And, you know, he just, you know, he's the greatest guy in the
used
whole
to
world.
It now.
He's used
to
it. And, you know, I'm not funny, and I have no funniness in my body, and I drive myself crazy. The second I step on stage and take the mic, I'm fine. But I never believe that it's going to be there. I always think it's going to leave. The muse is going to be gone. But yes, I am comfortable on stage. I would hope so after all this time.
Well, you know, look at Linda Ronstadt. You know, some people don't get comfortable after all that time.
Yeah. Singing's different. It's easier, but harder.
Because you...
There's nothing... It's easier because you could do it... The audience could be talking, whatever.
Right.
You know, you're singing, you have a whole band, you're not by yourself. But, you know, you might not hit the note, which is a little scary. That always...
But there's more of a net.
There's way more of a net. But comedy, you're all alone.
Yeah.
All alone.
The last time you were on the show was for Last of the Red Hot Lovers at Williamstown.
At Williamstown, yeah.
And that was your theater debut, I believe.
Yeah.
So is that something you'd like to do more of?
Yes.
Yes, I would.
It was fun.
You were great.
Now, that felt easy to me. Well, after I learned the lines. Learning the lines was brutal. Thank you so much.
But you and
Brooks Ashmascus
is fantastic.
He's
going to be on Bullets Over Broadway and Woody Allen's.
Is he? I didn't know that.
Yes, on Broadway, opening soon.
Then I have to go see him.
Yeah.
And he was really a tremendous help to me because he's been on stage a million times and he really helped me out a lot, you know. But that almost felt easier because it wasn't my lines; it was Neil Simon's. So it was easier to do and learning Neil Simon is a little bit easier because it's so well written. You know where your jokes are and you just hit them.
And it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
So what can
Larry, by the way, wrote a play.
Larry wrote a play.
Larry wrote a very hilariously funny play. And I think it might go to Broadway. I don't know for sure.
That would be fun.
Uh-huh.
You're in Boston tonight. What can people expect?
Hilarity. I think everyone in Boston needs to laugh because the winter is over and it's been a nightmare. Spring is coming. And let's just, like, bring it in with a bang instead of out like a lamb, out like a crazy person.
It sounds like a plan. Susie Essman will be at the Wilbur Theater in Boston tonight at 7:30. Susie Essman, it's a delight to have you here. Travel safe, and thank you very much for stopping here before you head there.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.